Up the meeting. So,
good morning, everyone.
Now we got the mics. So let's start in the back this time and introduce ourselves. Chris, do you want to start, please?
Chris Walker, Kat.
Andrea Belcher, Multnomah County.
Dave Kais, general member.
Thank you.
Raisa Moore, Multnomah County, and just also a general person.
Julie Whaling, Cambier Transit.
Oh, sorry, Patricia Kepler, CAT. Andy House, Sandy Transit.
Steve Allen, City of Wilsonville Smart Transit.
Teresa Christofferson, Clackamas County.
Ron Thompson, Ride Connection, Washington County.
Glenn Kearson, Clackamas County.
Cora Potter, Ride Connection.
Paul Pappas, CAT.
Anais Mate, Kogan Owens Green.
Monica Sandgren, Multnomah County Aging, Disability, and Veterans Services.
Elaine Wells, Ride Connection.
Deidre Hall, Vocational Rehabilitation and CAT Committee.
Jeff Hill, Washington County Disability, Aging, and Veterans Services.
Zoe Presson, CAT, SDFAC, Streetcar, CAC.
Susan Florentino, TriMet.
Leon Chevalier, CAT.
Nick Jones, Clackamas County, plus Ride Connection board member.
John Betts, CAT.
Susie Wright with Kittleson.
Hannah Ritchie Quincy with TriMet.
Alan Leto with TriMet.
Claudia Robertson, CAT, Ride Connection Board of Directors, and Elders and Active Transportation Committee. I have many hats today.
Yeah. So, and I'm Jan Campbell, CAT. And what I wanted to do is talk about the mics just for a few minutes. It's very difficult when you move around the mics for people who have hearing aids on. So if we have anybody with those in the group. So we don't need to move them around. They'll pick our voice up. So, but we need to talk over the mic. So you don't need to bring it to your mouth or anything. You can just talk, kind of put your, you know, towards the mic, but don't move it around. And it should pick it up, I think, fine, don't you? Is that right, sir?
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, and thank you for telling us about that. And then the other thing that I didn't get, there's somebody way back there. I'm sorry. I just saw you.
Kevin Chambers with TriMet, goodness.
All right.
When did that happen?
I don't know where that came from.
He came on TriMet.
We were all right, right. Ride Connection.
Aww.
And you, you two can come and sit at a table and join us, for sure. You don't need to sit out there. And then the other thing is, I wanted to congratulate Patricia Kepler. I hear she's on the front page of the Oregonian this
Yay.
Morning. Yes. Oh, Patricia, you brought it. I want to be sure Yay. To read it. Do you want to tell us quickly kind of what it's about?
Here's a copy.
Yeah.
Oh.
I want to read.
There's a few copies around here.
So oh, I want to read it.
So, yeah, it is about the Access Recreation Project that I'm working on with Georgina Moran and Independent Living Resources. I'll let feedback. So, yeah, we've been working with Metro We have a Metro Neighborhoods grant and working with various parks, the state parks, local city parks, on putting out information about the trail systems in the Tri-County area. And people are beginning to notice. It's been a lot of fun.
And you actually, there's a list, I understand, of them.
There is a website called accesstrails.org, and we have 12 videos of different trails, but we have 24 reviews, and we just got a new grant to do 12 more reviews and 6 more videos.
Great.
It's been pretty exciting, and I've been really enjoying getting out and discovering trails I didn't know existed. So it's been fun.
And the website again?
accesstrails.org.
Okay, people, we've got the we have the transit going to the gorge now. Mm-hmm. Karen's not here. I heard that was wonderful last week. And now we've got these trails, so I better see people out there. No more excuses.
maybe I'll say one thing about the service to the gorge. Karen is not here. She is scrambling to catch up with the demand. On the opening weekend, for those who may not have seen it, they had 4,600 rides.
Oh, my goodness.
They had to order bigger buses. They had lines. It was fabulously successful to the point where they're sort of almost glassy-eyed overwhelmed with the demand. Obviously, it'll settle down after the Memorial Day weekend, but it was very much a success.
Yes, I'm going to go out and try and see how long I have to wait to get an accessible space. But I was wondering, I wanted Karen here to ask her how many people use mobility devices.
I'm fairly certain they counted, but I never heard a number.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Karen lives where I live, so I know how to reach her even when she's not around. Okay, any other announcements? Oh,
Dick.
Is there a link on the Oregonian where these other trails are? They're accessible?
I believe they did put a link on the website, on the Oregonian site.
Okay. Gotta drill down to find that.
Maybe we'll try to find it. If we can find it, we'll send it out.
Okay, thank you.
Any other announcements before we start digging into this? Okay, so Susan, you're gonna start, right?
Yeah, all right. Thank you, Jan. So I'm just going to do a little recap of our meeting from last time and just tell you some of the comments what we did with the input that we received from you all to get the document really from what you reviewed for the last meeting to the document that was available today. So as you know, we got a lot of feedback from you all in our table work sessions. We got a lot of edits from TriMet staff sent in some specific edits after the fact. So did Ride Connection, and several individuals on the committee also sent us follow-up comments and edits. So as a result, some of the things that you notably different today, first of all, that there's a full appendix for you, and some of the things that were requested as far as a list of acronyms, a glossary, those are included. Some of the additional new content that wasn't in there last week are all the fleet inventory and all of the meeting summaries that we've had, in addition to several of the attachments that you did see previously. There's things like the applications, discussion of performance measures, so a very complete appendix that should be helpful moving forward. And those meeting summaries have not only there's summaries of the high-level summaries of all the meetings, there's also all the very detailed notes from all of the work sessions that we had that really capture all of the individual comments. Moving into the document, so chapter one is the introduction chapter. It really had just some very minor updates related to providing some additional examples on projects funded with 5310 funds. Chapter two is the existing conditions chapter. We did some reorganization of kind of the order that we were presenting all of the existing services. We added a few missing services, most notably the Swan Island and Washington Park TMA shuttles. And we also added a section about all the transit providers who are kind of outside of our study area, but that provide connections into the study area, like Amtrak, Cascade Points, C-Tran, Coastal Connector, the Columbia County Rider, Columbia Gorge Express, Northwest Point, Chariots, Tillamook County Transit, Yamhill County Transit. So there's a lot of people providing connections into the area, and we provided text for those. We also added them to the table that we've been calling the continuum of services. Where applicable, we noted that those services served areas within the study area. And then also, as we were able, noted some of those external connections with arrows on the service area map. Chapter 3 is about service guidelines. There also were not a lot of substantive changes here. We updated the table that talks about conformance to these recommended guidelines based on some of the additional services that we had added into Chapter 2. Chapter 4 and 5 are where we kind of had the most significant, well, actually 4 didn't have significant changes, but we added a number of additions. In the sections related to demographics, we added a map on low vehicle access, as well as low income and non-English speaking populations, so just providing a little bit more information on different populations. And we updated and provided some additional statistics on the percentage of seniors and persons with disabilities in the TriMet area versus the whole plan area. I actually skipped over one note at the top that I meant to mention that is overarching to the whole document. We did make a decision to move forward with talking, always referencing seniors and persons with disabilities. We got that comment from you. I think TriMet did some internal discussions and decided that that was the way to move forward, and that should be consistent throughout the whole document. We also, in the demographics section, added discussion on access to smartphones by income and by race, and added some addressed comments that we received from you and some corrections on our overall summary of needs. So Chapter 5 is about priorities. There was one kind of significant clarification to the priorities.
Can I slow you down for just
sure.
a minute? Since some of these things are new info, if anybody wants to ask questions or whatever, feel free to do so. We're not in a huge hurry this morning, we don't think. I worry now that I've just jinxed us, but make sure you understand and are comfortable with what's been added. So the new cell phone thing is the one that I was paying attention to because I didn't really get a chance to look at it. That's the thing on page 4-13.
Yes.
Okay.
Can you just send the document that we read between the document we read and the one we got today, or is this from in the between
now and our previous meeting?
Oh, okay. So if I read the document that you sent us in the mail, all these changes were in there.
Yeah, I've actually made some minor adjustments since I sent them to you in the mail, and I will cover what I changed after Susie has a chance to talk.
All Susie's things are in this document.
Yep.
Okay,
mm-hmm. To the
Andy?
Oh, sorry.
So I was just reading through Sandy's section and noticed that change that you made, it says seniors and people with persons with disabilities.
Can you
what page are you
tell
on?
Me what page?
214 and 215. Kay. So you just might want to do a search all to make sure that.
I think that's in the document I gave.
Great.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I went through them one by one looking for those things, but there was several hundred of them. thank you for catching that. Okay, so we're at Chapter 5 and the changes that we made there. And, you know, all these changes really should sound fairly familiar to the discussions we had at the meetings. One of the changes, though, to the kind of guiding principles about, the guiding principle of maintaining existing services We made one caveat to that statement, which is that so long as that service is meeting the needs of senior and people with disabilities, we just wanted to make sure that it was clear that we're not advocating maintaining existing services for the sake of maintaining existing services, but we want to make sure that that is a priority to maintain existing services so long as they are meeting needs of seniors and people with disabilities, which we know that really the I venture to say all the services that are being provided today are meeting those needs, that being existing isn't necessarily a grandfather clause. We want to make sure that everything that we're doing is always meeting important needs. We clarified that we had all the multiple tables with different groups of actions, and we just clarified that those are strategies, so just trying to simplify the document a little bit more, that the actions are grouped under several themes, and so we have guiding principles, strategies, and actions. There were a number of actions added to the first strategy of developing a implementation committee. There were some additional actions basically indicating that committee should try to assess the costs of implementing the action items. One of the changes that was made across all of the action tables was to remove the cost column, because many of them basically said it was dependent on the project, it was staff time, or it was needed some effort to be able to provide a good cost estimate. So given that the information was fairly kind of all over the book on that and somewhat spotty, we made the decision to remove the cost column from each of the action tables and identify that as an action for the implementation committee. We added a few specific action items for that committee when it's formed, which I'm sure the charter for that committee will continue to identify additional actions. Yes, you have a question?
Sometimes I wonder when we're going to implement something new, what about something we've been doing in the past?
Mm-hmm.
That maybe half did what we're thinking about now, or we really wouldn't do what we're going to do now except getting rid of the other. Maybe we mm-hmm. are getting rid of things, replacing them with more important things with the new strategies. So the cost is not the total cost. You have to subtract from that what we're already doing.
Right.
Like bringing this group together for an extra meeting. Well, that could be taken care of by the implementation team. So we wouldn't need to come here for one meeting of the whole committee. It could be replaced with what we're going to do over here.
Yeah, I think when looking at the cost of any action item, you need to think about, well, is this replacing something else that we're already doing, and take that into consideration. So we basically determined we weren't in a position at this time to give finite costs to all of the projects or action items. So we're going to move that to the kind of subcommittee role as we're starting to look at near-term action items. Some specific action items also added, the development of an advocacy white paper, as well as periodic review of the coordinated transportation plan to evaluate progress. Let's see.
I'm going to add one in.
You want to add?
Yeah, so I'm recommending adding another action under that theme for the subcommittee, and you'll see that on page 5-6. Action number 5. So what I sent you out originally through the mail did not have the updated application forms in the attachments. So I've since added them into what you have in front of you today. And in reviewing the comments that you all provided in previous meetings to review those application forms, there were a lot of different ideas about how to, further refine them. And so I have this recommendation that each biennial cycle before we get into the project solicitation process, that the subcommittee convenes in one of their, you know, agenda items is to review the application forms to make sure that they make sense, that they're, you know, meeting the needs of all the committee members, and if there's any recommended updates that the committee sees, that they could take that to the STFAC and say, we'd like to have some of these updates made, and then we would be able to do that, you know, finalize them on a sort of biennial basis. So what I've included in the attachments is a good draft of what we can move forward with, and then we'll look to finalize them later this year when we convene again.
Okay, kind of moving forward to the additional strategies, the one related to enhancing access and increasing efficiency. In the text commentary in this section, we made sure to note some of the caveats or concerns that were raised with some of the strategies. For example, the strategy about, you know, moving towards conditional trip screening, we added the note that just the concerns about how weather would play into conditional trip screening and the notification time for kind of canceled trips, that these were just concerns about that type of strategy. We added into the pedestrian-friendly environment section some discussion about social determinants of health and how access to transit is important to the age-friendly communities. And that was also added here in the draft since what was mailed to you. Hannah and Glenn worked on some additional text to the report introduction. Based on comments from the working groups of the working session, there was a few changes to priorities, just trying to get a better spread of Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3. And then we just received a variety of different language changes or additions on the responsible party to make some of these things more inclusive. So a variety of those types of kind of language changes, but they weren't necessarily, you know, changing the intent of the action. On improving customer experience, TriMet provided some good clarification text on the current status of their capabilities to provide real-time information for Lyft, basically that how some of the infrastructure is in place and the, you know, what's needed to help get that to be able to be fully implemented. And there was a new strategy that was added related to non-emergency medical transportation and just continuing to look for opportunities to coordinate with them. In the Chapter 6, Financial Plan chapter, we updated some of the statistics on the agency's percentage of all the transit agency's funds coming from SDF. We defined some of the types of projects done with 5310 funds. On the different types of funding opportunities in the latest federal legislation, we added discussion on 5339, which is for buses and bus facilities. And noted that there is a new FTA resource online, which is the National Aging and Disability Transportation Research, which is a great kind of resource to find more information about funding opportunities and different ways the FTA can provide support. And then there is a new Section 7, which is just a conclusion chapter. So that is all I have as far as kind of the notable things that we did between today and our meeting. How many weeks ago? 3 weeks ago? 4 weeks ago? 4 weeks ago. So, Hannah, do you have anything else to add?
Yeah, the other thing that I wanted to add is the cover. I wanted to update the cover and have it show more diversity of the services that are offered in the region instead of just having TriMet Lyft here. And so what I've done is I've sent an email out to you all, and I'm looking for the providers to send me One photo that we have the permission to use and publish on this cover. Now, I've received something from Smart and Ride Connection, so if the others in the room could please send me something in very soon so that we can get the cover updated. Thanks. Yeah, we just caught one of those, and
Section 7 says
it's
M.
M
instead of
7. So anyway, all these comments about the page numbers are in the packet. Right?
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I have them.
Okay. Hmm? There's a number.
Before we publish, we'll go through and make sure that all the page numbers look good.
I think Microsoft Word was getting a little frustrated with how long the document was.
So do we, Susan, do you mind opening it up now for questions and comments?
Yeah.
So we mainly hoping that this will be pretty final today. We'd like to take a vote on it, an action item. So are there any comments that need to be made? Go ahead, and then Claudia.
I have a question. First of all, what is the purpose of the vehicle inventory? Because that's not comprehensive for the region, because there are other areas, other entities that have vehicles, and it's going to change constantly. I was just curious why put that vehicle inventory in there.
So the theory here is we don't expect it to be truly comprehensive because there are so many vehicles, but it gives us just a little bit better sense, especially when we step into the next biennial process where 5310 gets some focus for vehicles, to have some sense of what the possible scope and scale of need is. So we won't, be constantly updating it all the time. But if we update it every 3 to 4 years, we get a pretty good snapshot and some sense of, does half the fleet in the entire region need to be replaced in the next cycle, or are we doing pretty well?
All right.
Yeah. I think it's something that the state's been very interested in understanding as well.
It's part of the federal requirements for these types of plans.
Oh, is it?
Yep. So it's a little bit of a checkbox item, but as Alan said, it's going to be kind of very useful too to have that good snapshot.
This is why it's good to have a knowledgeable consultant on this, because Hannah and I didn't know it was a requirement.
But we
really just thought it was a good idea.
It. It's a guideline.
Okay.
Guideline, not requirement.
Guideline.
If you're mostly thinking of like a private fleet, if, I don't know if that's what you're thinking of. If there's public fleet you think we're missing, just let us know.
There are a whole bunch of agencies that, like I'm not sure Malala's in here, fleet's in here. I'm not sure, maybe it is. But all the adult centers have fleets and things, and they're all funded various ways through here. So there's a lot of small agencies that are not in here, I don't think.
I think that may be an aspiration for the next cycle.
That may be.
For the larger systems especially, they already have some kind of tracking system. Otherwise. Yeah.
But I do have a couple of questions on some of the pages, if you want to take those. And I'm looking on page 519.
Well, before you get into that, I wanted to note that while we do aim to get to a vote and a recommendation today, that we will still take these copy edits and incorporate them into the final document. I just want to know that you can still vote on it knowing that we'll do those copy edits.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On 519, and it's under advocacy, I just wonder why STFAC is not part of the responsible parties for advocacy. Seems to me we would be an important voice to go down to the legislature and advocate for more money.
Is this action item 18?
No, it's 17 and 18.
Hmm. Okay.
Seems reasonable.
Advocate for adequate capital and seek stable funding in legislative session. I would just think that STFAC should be one of the responsible parties for that.
So looking around, other folks comfortable with that idea?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes sense, especially considering that there's an action item to put together an advocacy white paper.
Right. So anyway, that was one comment. And I have more, so don't give up. And also 24, which is on page 522, action item 24.
It's 21.
Action item 24 on page 521, I'm sorry. It says develop and implement new transportation services.
It's 520.
Yeah, on the printout that we gave you this morning, it's on the bottom of page 5-20.
Okay, I'm looking at the one that was sent to me.
Yep.
I'm working off of that one.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But so number 24.
I just wondered why STFAC is not on that one. Seems to me we should have an active role in developing at least some of these new services. I don't know.
I think when we wrote it, the assumption was that the emphasis on this is implement, which the STFAC has no ability to do.
Maybe it should.
You have the ability to be part of the conversation.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's fine. I have no problem with that. And then I want to go to page, on the document I was mailed to me on page 525, action items 27 and 28.
So we're on 525. This new version, I think, because we added a action item, we may be looking at 28 and 29. But keep going, and we'll catch up.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Whatever. It's developed and distributed brochure.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to me some of the INR agencies should be involved in that. And I put down here ADRCs and 211 info could be involved in that whole process. And the same for increased communication and marketing efforts. Seems to me we need to collaborate with these existing INR services to get more information out there. It was my thought.
So you're recommending adding ADRC and 211 info to both 27 and 29, or
28 and 29 in the new print?
Whatever
right.
You call them, 27 and 28 on the copy I have. Yep. I was working off of.
Okay.
And I open that up to everyone else's comments, but I would just. And then I also, on page 535, on my item 40, develop a centralized information system. Seems to me one of the responsible parties, again, should be the ADRCs and 211 info.
Great. And again, that's in the new print. It's action item 41 at the top of 5-35.
I'm using the document I read. I haven't been able to speed read the new one yet, so sorry.
I just keep saying that for those who have the new print in front of them.
You know, Glenn, the reason it's longer is because of the your paragraph that you put into the intro.
I knew you would do that.
I'm just
ready
kidding.
For it. I'm
plus, we added an action item, so.
You want to see? Anyway.
Did you have others?
No.
Okay, great. So that certainly all makes sense to me. Yeah. Any questions or comments on Glenn's particular items? So we'll just go ahead and assume we're adding those things in unless we hear anything else during the discussion.
When the motion's made, we'll just add that to a motion.
Mm-hmm. I think Deirdre had something.
Oh, Claudia first.
Okay.
Thanks.
Before we move to another person, Glenn, would you want to speak to the language that you asked to add to the introduction?
Sure. I'd be happy to. And it's different. It's a little bit different in the new draft than what I submitted.
A little bit, just for the flow.
Okay.
And it's the third paragraph in the introduction on page 1-1 in the document that I had out for you today.
When I go to other meetings, including health centers meetings, and I go to the aging services meetings, advisory council meetings, in the health centers and health-related, we constantly talk now, within the last year, this is becoming now a new vocabulary, is the determinants of health. And transportation is one, near the top as a determinant of health, that if you don't have adequate transportation, it's hard to get to the medical facilities, et cetera, et cetera. And it's, the other ones are housing, social interaction, and things like that. But transportation is always one of the issues that is a social determinant of health. And we're all trying to improve the population health and the health of individuals. So that's why I wanted to add just a reference to it so that we all start thinking about that when we're in our discussions. And the other issue in here is age-friendly communities. I know Portland has been an age-friendly, and Claudia has been involved in that, I know. Elders in Action, the age-friendly community proposals in Multnomah County is. We're trying to address that. And on age-friendly communities, transportation is another, is also a major issue here. Access to transportation, curb cuts, sidewalks. So I just wanted to get them in there as kind of a placeholder. And I noticed throughout the document, occasionally there'll be determinants of health, and I think that's wonderful. I just wanted to get them highlighted so that we all could be aware that in our discussions we need to say, oh, this is part of a bigger picture. The transportation is not just isolated, it's part of a bigger picture. And that's why I proposed this extra paragraph.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
So did everybody get this, or is this new?
Yeah, that paragraph is new, and it's in the copy that I provided today.
Yeah, but are there
still ones available?
Like,
Yeah, I left one out for everybody.
Yeah, and I'm just, well, I was mainly thinking of people who can't read this. So do we need to read it just to be sure? Was it provided early, this paragraph?
No, it was just provided this morning.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. So do you want to just read that so people...
Sure.
Just to make sure everybody's on the same track. Thank you.
So this is a third paragraph in the introduction. Okay, transportation is a key determinant of health. The World Health Organization has developed a checklist of essential features of age-friendly cities as a tool for a city's assessment and a map for charting progress. All of the data indicates that 80 to 90% of individuals who want to stay in their home as long as possible. One of the key elements of a livable city is adequate transportation to access medical care and other essential services. The concept of age-friendly communities, or livable communities, is being actively promoted by AARP, the National Council on Aging, and the National Association of Area Agencies on Aging. The Institute on Aging at PSU is a leading expert in the age-friendly communities.
Thank you. It's nice. That was a good one. It's very nice.
Leon?
Wait, sorry. Claudia was going to be. Is this on this, just this paragraph?
No, it's about.
Yeah, so we've got a couple people, and then you, Leon, if that's okay. So Claudia is asked, and then Deidre, and then you. Thank you so much.
This is something we mentioned previously.
Okay, we'll get back to it. It's fine. Thank you.
I know that you have already said you didn't catch all the people with disabilities that's still in here, and I would suggest, I don't know if you do this or not, but Lane and I were talking yesterday, that somebody actually physically take a copy of this and do some editing. There's punctuation and things that spell check doesn't catch.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, one of the things, just as the introduction part is put together, and I have to say, I'm sorry, I didn't know there was another copy here. I just brought this with me today. In the introduction, and then as you go to figure one, and then principles, and then development of the CTP, I think that development of the CTP needs to be moved to right before figure one, so that it flows and the development before you get into the principles of it, because the principles came after the development of it. And there's a redundant use of who the
STF, what the STF is. It's listed here of all the people that are in it. And then again, on page, I wrote that down. On page 1-4, it explains, after, under development of the CTP, the second paragraph is, explains in who the members are. And then that whole thing is said again on page 1-7.
Okay.
That more than, it's almost the same paragraph, more than half of the committee is comprised of.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it seems like it would flow much better if you did the introduction and then the development of the CTP before the principles of the CTP. It kind of flows better. This mm-hmm. is how it was developed, and this is what the principles are, mm-hmm. and this is how we get there. If that's okay with you. Hmm. And most of the other stuff that I marked was just context and use of plurals.
Great.
Stuff.
Hopefully we fixed some of that stuff since
yeah,
that was printed, but that's great.
Okay, and I would like to just thank you for getting this earlier than we have before. It mm-hmm. came on Tuesday, and I was a very happy person when I went to the mailbox that I had a little more time. Thank you.
Yeah, you should have seen us on, what was it, Friday afternoon, getting it all out the door.
Jeff and Hannah were
yes.
running their own post office there.
Oh, I bet.
Mostly Jeff.
DJ?
Yeah, I just had an observation about page 413, that the smartphone access by income and by race.
They're exactly the same percentages. The both graphs are the same, and so I'm just kind of curious about that.
Oh, I noticed that too, and it's an error.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll get that 4-2 replaced.
So these are exact same. So one of them is wrong. And we'll confirm which one and fix it.
The bottom one.
Leon, thank you. Yeah.
I don't know if this talks about what this gentleman was talking about.
Leon, you can just sit there and it'll pick you up.
It'll pick you up.
Yep.
All right. Anyways, so maybe what this man said, social interaction, and I don't know if this exists already, but forgive me for not knowing it. But anyways, I thought of page 535. Well, I'm sorry, not 5-35. It said in 41, it says develop a centralized information system. And I thought, well, what about the people that don't have a mobility devices, that don't have access to, if they have a mobility device, but they can't get downtown to that one office, are there other offices in certain areas that can go and they can get information? And perhaps with social interaction, if they see somebody that has a problem, they say, well, this is the way that I do it. And so it's there's more interaction.
Are you worried about this sort of technology only being available on a smartphone and some people not being
yes.
able to access?
Yes.
So this technology could be available through a desktop computer or a smartphone, and it's possible for it to be available in kiosks or even have it at the centers that you would go to, where, whatever place of information that
yeah.
you travel to, it could be available there for them to share with you.
Well, I was thinking of a particular site or a certain area, have it staffed by a couple of staff people that can explain things like, this is the way you can do it, like whether you're in a mobility device or whether you have small children, or if there's not a line very close to where they can get, and how did they get to it if they feel uncomfortable on the buses, but just all this general stuff. And this will, again, I believe, interact in social interaction. But it'll solve the problem in a sense.
Yeah, and what this tries to do is address the information gap, which is what the information gap right now, which
yes.
is that
yes.
There are a lot of places where folks can get some level of help like that.
Oh,
you know, Ride Connection's a great place. Our mobility center, there are the social service agencies that can help provide the information if they're aware and fully up to speed about what options are out there. And so this would be about making sure that they have the correct information to pass on.
Thank you, I didn't know that. All right.
Hang on just a second. I think we had Julie next.
Yep, we do. And then
I wanted to talk about what Deirdre brought up, the graphs. You have it on race and income. And you may have already talked to this at other meetings, but seems to me that age would be the most appropriate thing to look at, because my experience is that if you're of an advanced age, you don't want a cell phone or a smartphone. And maybe that's already been discussed.
That's a great
point. I just
point.
Thought it was something. I'd like to know what the discussion was.
Right. So, absolutely, I agree. We were constrained by what data was actually available. And so this was, these two graphics were, and the data was from a recent attitudes and awareness survey. So it's really even just, TriMet riders specifically, but it's a good snapshot just to kind of start that conversation. And so I think it gives us a call to think about that in future data collection efforts.
Do we want to include that?
Yeah, in an action item?
Yeah.
We could incorporate that within, yeah.
I think what I would propose is that the action item be to request that TriMet include in the attitude and awareness survey that the ability to do a crosstab is what it's called between smartphone use and age. The survey is really long right now, and we kind of fight internally every year about what gets in and what has to stay out. But if this group can say, now we think it's really important because of these needs, that's a good way to hopefully get it done. Otherwise, a survey is really expensive, and I don't think
we'd
want to do it independently.
Oh, no, we just want to include it, what's already happening.
Right.
Well, that helps.
So that
came from a previous study.
Yeah.
You just put what you have. Okay.
But we have that data, then we could look at mine the data to pull out.
It seems like you could do a crosstab based on, because I think we ask for age, but I'm not sure.
So you'll look and see if we have it, and then if we don't have it, we can just include it as a recommendation?
For, future survey efforts,
right,
we
exactly.
look specifically at collecting that information.
Great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Zoe and then Dick.
My question is, we're talking about technology, and yes, I do have an iPad, blah, 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 but I'm still in the landline age, and with all of this technology, is there some place where so-and-so person can just call
like we used to
a regular 10-number phone number and get the information they need without having to go online?
I think that's the intent.
Used to be, sweetie, used to be. But not so much information either. We didn't have then.
You can call a helpline.
So, I mean, is
I just was thinking that's sort of the intention of 211 is to be a dial-up resource for things like that, even though it sounds like there is a lot of work to improve that service. Mm-hmm. But that is kind of the intention of 211.
And you know, I don't work with 211. I do ADRC, but ADRC, we have some information, but also we give resources. So we still have to have that resource out there to give
mm-hmm.
to the people.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go into a lot of depth. You know, they just give you other resources. So I'll have to try 211 and see what they give on the transportation. But I know we don't go into a lot of depth.
Mm-hmm. No, it's okay. It's a good.
I'm sorry. Were you gonna make? Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, I just think that's a great point of actually having a phone number.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk to somebody and get information.
Yeah, it's like human to human. I don't
Maybe that's something the committee can look at. You know, when we show that subcommittee.
I was under the impression that's 211's effort. And, yeah. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone has something.
Well, wait, oh, go ahead on to.
ADRCs, and that's one of these, couple of these action items, is to get them involved.
Right.
Because they do have landline access and internet access and text access. So they have access across the board, all the way back to landlines, which I'd be using, to texting and everything. So that's one of the reasons that we have these action items in here, is to improve that database of information. Mm-hmm. So I totally agree with you, Zoe, in that we've got it in here as an action item already, and we need to pursue that.
Susan. Thank you. Dick.
You know, in looking at exhibit 4-1 and 4-2, the question that should have been asked here, is there some kind of typo here, because the one by income and the one by race are identical. Identical.
Yeah, we
so
did.
So maybe we should.
We
maybe
caught that. It's
missing,
an error.
And we should have had something by age.
Yes.
Oh, right.
You know,
right.
If not, you could just put by income and race and use the other half a page for something else more useful.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's just it's an error in reporting numbers. If the spreadsheet linked to the wrong piece, so we'll fix it.
Okay.
Susan.
Last week at CTAA, there was a meeting with transit agencies and healthcare providers to discuss the Rides to Wellness program, and the meeting was put on by CCAM, the Council on Access and Mobility. And my question was whether that those grants would be in the scope of this document in Chapter 6, because the existing cycle ended on May 31st, but there will be another cycle starting up in March of next year, so that was my question.
What's CCA?
CCAM, and I'm on page 6-4. It's the Coordinating Council on Access and Mobility, and they are a federal organization about out of Washington, D.C., and there were a number of transit agencies, and including TriMet and also Ride Connection attended the meeting to discuss, back to your point about the connection between health outcomes and transportation. So it seemed like that might be within the scope of this document.
So, Susan, just to make sure, what you're suggesting is we identify that as a potential other funding source that providers could pursue in pursuit of some of the action items here and service and support for service. Could you send us an email that has the details of that? Because I don't think Hannah and I are aware enough of that to find it.
Yeah.
Is there agreement that would be within the scope of this document?
To know other sources of funding? I think absolutely.
Yeah, okay, great. Thank you.
It can't hurt.
So on that note, I was kind of thinking along the same lines, but back to the performance measures and reporting, I think that there's a big discussion about what outcomes are from a health perspective. So if you're looking at social determinants of health, we need to start evaluating what we do and how that affects people's health. It's more than just the cost per ride. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking on page 310 about performance measurements and reporting and how we do need to change the performance measurements, I'd like to see something added to that about a discussion about standardizing, maybe, or at least having the conversation about return on investment and what that means from a healthcare perspective. So we can be ready to apply for those dollars and show that we do affect an outcome on a person's health in a positive way.
Great.
Well, I was reading the performance measurements and reporting section and seeing that, you know, there's an action item that we're going to reevaluate performance measurements and tie them back to the application. So I'd just like to have that conversation when that's discussed.
So we should probably look at the action item itself and just see if it needs to mention that
sure.
as well. I can't remember which number it is off the top of my head.
It's in the first table of action items for the subcommittee.
So Claudia just wanted to say something while we're looking
about the,
on this.
The determinants of health. There's a difference in my mind between medical transportation and transportation for, quote, health. And the fact that people have access to the community, I believe, improves their health. I think that if you're isolated, your health can deteriorate in all sorts of ways. You don't have to be taken to somewhere that has a doctor to have your health improved by getting out of your house. And you don't even have to improve your nutrition by being taken to a meal site. You will improve your appetite if you're engaged in the community. And that is, I don't know if esoteric is the word I'm looking for, but I don't know that that's a measurable quantity. But when you're talking about health, I think transportation to the doctor is up to the doctors. That's not, but, you know, I would like to see that as part of a discussion, another discussion. But health and wellness have to do with living a life. And that, when I was at the OTA conference, I went to the medical session, and they talked about getting people to the doctor. And to me, that was maybe a third of the discussion. The rest of the discussion was, and I used Sandy Transit as because they didn't have transportation before the STAR thing came in, you know, that I thought that Julie Stevens had improved the health of the seniors in rural Sandy more by starting that STAR system than anybody did who drove them to the doctor, because they actually got into the community, and it was used so heavily, and it wasn't used for medical trips. So measuring that, I don't know how you do it, but I think you have to keep it in mind, as even if it's part of your goal in your head when you're looking at this stuff, measure the other stuff, but remember that you are improving people's lives just by getting them out. Mm-hmm. So.
Claudia, I think what you're really saying is there's a socialization factor in transportation.
In health, too.
Yeah.
And it isn't just getting to the doctor and getting
right,
medicine.
Right.
It's getting, you know.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Maybe it's just, sorry. We'll look for some place to put in a little bit of language that makes it clear that that kind of thing is worthy of discussion. Obviously, I agree, it's definitely not esoteric. It may be hard to measure, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't consider it. There may be research out there that we're not aware of. I mean, I know that, you know, there's plenty of research that says that, you know, if you live in a full care facility and you have complete control and ownership of your own plant, you are healthier than if you don't. So there's probably mm-hmm. stuff that could get to that qualitatively, if not quantitatively.
Corey? Yeah, wait, just a second. Corey.
Okay. I just looked it up really quick on the Rights to Wellness. So it's a sub-initiative of the 5310 program, and the funding is FAST Act 3006.
Could you forward that link to us? Because the, please.
I just want to say, yeah,
Go ahead.
I totally implied this was not.
Oh, I know that.
But, and that's part of the paragraph that that got edited. I talk about that. And when you look at the social determinants of health, they cover all these issues, and it's only not only transportation to medical care; it's all the other services in the community.
But measuring is hard. That's
yeah,
what
well,
I wanted to bring
up. If you look at the WHO site, you can find some information on that.
I just want to make a quick comment on that, and the structure of the funding does acknowledge that a little bit, because it is acceptable to use medical funds for
non-medical
purposes.
Great.
Anybody else? Oh, Zoe.
After I moved from the Ion Plaza to the Yards at Union Station, I had no idea that I had access to Fixed Route. So for 100% of my transportation from April 07 through July of 07, I was using Lyft. During that time, I continued to get more and more depressed, frustrated, etc., 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 because it meant that I had to pre-plan my life, which for me, I'm not the type to pre-plan anything, and I got so depressed. And if that would have continued for another 3, 6, 9 months, a year, I probably would not be here today because I probably would have committed suicide. So we're talking about health, but health also depends on emotional health. And if you're at home and you're depressed and you're frustrated and you're mad, your mental health, physical health are going to go down. So, yeah, talking about health, we're not just talking about the physical, we're also talking about the mental and emotional. And thank you.
The whole person. Thank you for sharing that. Anything else? You know, what I'd like to do is take a break, and we can kind of talk about how we want to move forward and then let people know how we're going to make these changes. Does that sound good for people? Maybe till quarter after, 10-minute break? Okay, thank you so much. Good discussion, everybody. Now, when you're on break, don't think of anything else.